Welcome to Thoughtfully Yours On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone system dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Are you going to participate on the web? Just go to the talk show website at www.talkshow.com. Search for call ID 17702 or SFB On Call, Starfleet Yours On Call, and you will find us there. But if you want the best, the absolute best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. You will find us there, be able to join the chat room, be able to watch my lovely face, and participate in the whole chat of the topic of discussion for that evening or not. Some people talk about other topics. Yeah. But anyway. Moving on, going forward, the contact information, if you need to contact me, is SFU, for the, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com, that's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, you will follow me on the Twitters. You can follow me on sfuoncall, or Paul Franz, that's my personal account, PAULFRANZ, or my business account, which is Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And of course, if you want the new, the brightly shining Blue Sky account. I actually am also on there. You go to friendsgames.com. That's my personal and business account. I think I'm just going to combine them there, over there. And also my podcasting account, which currently is sfuoncall.bsky.social. Hopefully I will be changing that in the near future. I just got to spend the 10 to 15 minutes of concentrated effort to work on that. Of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB that actually I missed from last week, and I apologize that I missed this last week. Maybe. Actually, I think I missed it. Which was that they had ADB had a meeting. You know, big surprise. They're busy. They have a meeting. Shocker. And they worked out a six product plan is for this year, or at least that's the priorities to get done in the future, i.e. this year. You know, assume, hopefully everything gets done this year. First one, Ryan Mast Starship book, which is currently in Gene's lovely hands and working on proofreading it. Also, the next one is F&E Civil Wars, which is on Duck Strong's staff. They're doing that, of course. And then there's the Rumors of War, which I mentioned actually last week, which is being done by Daniel Cass. That's, of course, Starmada. And Albert is working on a Call to Arms Book 3. I don't remember what's in Book 3. And Steve Cole is going to be working on Captain's Log number 55, the Double Nickel. The Captain's Log that will yet to actually show its lovely face. Also, Steve Cole and Mike West are working on Federation Commander Booster number 40. So hopefully we'll get another stack. I'm not sure what they're going to do with a booster pack 40. If you have a booster pack, in my mind, you'd have to actually print them out. You'd actually have to have cards that you'd sell. Yeah, that, or they might just do it as an e-release, in which case it's a lot cheaper, and then you got to print them out yourself. And Master Starship book is currently, it's waiting for Gene to get the proofreading on that. But of course, she's currently focusing on the Orion. After the Orion's done, then she'll work on the ISC. Steve Patrick is going to be working on an SFB module. Steve Cole totally whiffed on this and forgot about it. But more importantly, for those counter people who the counter addicts out there, they got and approved the quote for reprint of 11 counter sheets. That's Sierra, Kilo, Indigo, Vulcan, R6, K, Y1, the SFB basic set, Veteran Commander, SFB A plus, you know, that module, and Planetary Ops. For those counteracts when it comes to SAP products. I'm sure you understand, you know what it means, Sierra, Kilo, Indigo, and Vulcan mean, because I'm sure you've been on the discussion board. Now, this week on Fallon Online Store, we've got something which I don't think I've ever brought up before, but they're really nice, which is they have, like, ADB sells a Klingon pin that you can put on your, like, you know, put on your jacket. It's only $5. It's beautiful. 1.25 1.25 inch little pin. And it shows the undying allegiance to the Klingon Empire. So if you want to get that, it's a nice pin. It really looks nice. So if you want to get a nice, it's only $5, so it's pretty cheap. So you should be able to get that with no issues. SAP Line tournaments. Sapphire Star 18 tournament is still going strong. I'm sorry, I forgot to look up to see. I'm pretty sure round one is completed, in which case you're going on to round two. I know that last week, as I mentioned, you know, Jack Taylor lost against Jude Hornberg. Big surprise there. Moving onward and forward to the online client stuff. I did a little bit of work this past week, and I fixed the drone launch, the issue where drones that were launched with Scatterpak didn't have the unit type assigned to them. That most of the time is not important. It is if you're using the filtering of the game control, where you can filter out the units. And if you do a filtering, I'll say, okay, you want to show like the drones, and they will disappear. They won't be there. That will be fixed. Obviously, the one issue here is that if you have an ongoing game that has those drones, they won't fix that problem. They only fix it for future games where you actually launch from a Scatterpak. Moving on and forward, okay, when it comes to the library report, there's nothing new, nothing, no updates. I'm waiting, as I mentioned last week, I'm waiting for the general unit to be updated, which I'm hoping Matthew Potter can get around to. I know he's obviously busy with the campaign with Frank LeMay. So hopefully we'll get updates to fix all those issues with the general users that use race-based refits. And of course, nothing, no updates when it comes to FedCom Library. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one of all Paul Franz welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight, we have Doug with us. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have me. And that is all she wrote. Okay, there. Just want to make sure that's it. Okay.
What? We don't have any friends who are ice cubes out west with us right now?
No, and I wish him well. Because Lord knows he's on those, the frozen tundra of the country, you know. Hopefully his truck is working well, and his nice heated cab, and he's driving down the road nice and safe, you know.
Yeah, one of our other friends was just out in that area, and he said it's like, before he left to go further to a warmer place, it was like minus 11. I'm like, yeah. I feel warm. I feel like I could dance outside with my shirt off.
I know. I got to like 20.
When I hear shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, now it's like up to 23 degrees here. We're down to single digits, you know, the past couple of days, which was scary. Scary. Because we had the faucets actually, you know, dripping so that the pipes wouldn't freeze, just to make sure, you know. Yep. There's precautionary measures that are out there, and actually, you know, so that was quite nice. Oh, just a heads up for y'all, in that I did not realize this until like 10 minutes before the podcast started. That is, my wife's birthday is next Thursday. Now, it's a tradition, my family, to take the person out for dinner, for wherever they want to go. If they want to go to McDonald's, they go to McDonald's. If they want to go to Austin Steakhouse, we go to Austin Steakhouse. If they want to go all the way down to VQ in Collegeville, go take them down to VQ. Now, I'm not sure whether they want to go on their birthday or they're willing to be flexible in that regard. I'm sure part of that will have to do with her clients that she has. But in either case, there is a possibility that there might not be a podcast next week. Stay tuned. Just keep an eye out. Assume that I'm going to have one. And if it doesn't show up, it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, and you'll know why. So, oh, by the way, Doug, how's your internet?
It's okay right now. I'm actually watching the podcast.
Yes, I noticed because
Yeah, we got past the choke point of the month and it's back to normal.
cool.
So, it'll be like that for a week or so and then it'll go back to like, "Hi, we're choking your internet again because we're evil and stuff and Erica doesn't want to pay for the other internet service." So, yay. And hooray.
Yeah, it is.
It is what it is,
It
Paul.
is what it is. It is what it is. Okay. So, to get got that out of the way. Done. Get on to the topic for this evening, which is somebody, and the person's name is Jeff Clark, the fool, is actually going to try to run an alternate tournament. Now, it's a tournament that actually has been written up in Captain's Log number 15. And actually I actually I one of those ones I actually have an ebook form. I want to get them all, but I have not spent the time or the money to get the later ones, and I need to work on that. It's a little bit of time, maybe like one a month or whatever. Enough that it's not gonna definitely put me in dire straits financially. But anyhow, what it is a 500 BPV tournament. And the idea, at least the original idea, now this was Capital 15, so that's many, many years ago at this moment in time. And let me, I'm going to actually, let me do this. Oh, sorry, wrong one there. What I want to do is I want to show you, y'all. Okay, this is the original one from Capital 15. Blah, 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 blah. But it was, the idea of the actual tournament was to have two or three players on each side, on each team, which were playing this squadron of ships. And the forces were pre-selected. They had these, for those watching on the video, you'll see them. And actually, if you want to, you can actually go to the discussion board at starfleetgames.com/discuss, DISCUS. Remember, it's HTTP, not HTTPS. So some browsers are going to be a pain to actually get it, so you actually can go to that web page and not, it won't come up blank. So just to let you know, grumble, grumble. I understand they're trying to make things more secure, but also make for those older websites that can't support or don't, they can't support HTTPS. I've been working for so long without it, and they're not really maintained. They're just up and running. They're no longer accessible, so, or at least it's very hard to get accessed. Okay, these are if you see on the screen, there were pre-selected ship, fleets. And for example, let's get one. I'm gonna make one. I'm gonna go for simpler ones, not the ones the ones without drones. Simplifies things greatly. For example, the Ronin Kestrel was had one KRL with an MRS, one K7B, one KRB, and three T bombs distributed among the ships. That comes up with 499 points, and that's pre-selected. The players have no option when it comes to changing what is selected. That's what you get. It's also the year is Y-174 is what's assumed for all battle forces. Therefore, if there's a Y-175 refit, that refit's not available. And this is the rules used are all the standard rules are in effect with additional following rules: ATG drones, Aegis, balcony track system, which is interesting. Boarding party combat. Wow. BPVs, chaff, chain reactions, commander's options, crew units, disengagement, docking, dogfighting, drone wrecks. As per the SSDs. Special drones, EW, emergency repair, EDR. Woohoo! Erratic maneuvering, launch tubes, which they've always, whatever. Landing in opponent's shuttle bay. That's gonna be interesting if anyone actually attempts to do that during this tournament. T bombs and MRS shuttles, not all races and force lists will be available to use these rules. Big surprise.
Yeah,
Mines.
it's part of boarding, so yeah, they can do that.
Mines. The Eagle ships have their NSM mines. Mines are not hidden. NSMs can be told from T bombs, and T bombs are not hidden if dropped from a shuttle bay. So annoying. But the point here is that the original one was a 500 point BPV with pre-selected forces. They had actually ignored the racial restrictions, but you won't have enough points to balance them anyway, and so forth. They actually had different. They have four maps. Now, given that we're going to be playing this on SFB Online, we modified things a little bit. At least Jeff modified things a little bit. And let me see. Is it here? No, it's the archive. Okay. The changes to it are that okay, I said the time limit, but whatever. It's SFB Online. Still, they want a not three, but maybe two players. They like to have actually have a team of at least two players, and then have it so that obviously one the requirement is you have an active SFB Online account. But anyhow, and it just mentioned that the Starfleet Games BBS, as in the discussion board that I mentioned, that's going to be the primary communication announcement communication path. Although emails are also required and used for selection and approval. Now, that's so that, okay, there's not going to be email blasts sent out. If there's going to be an announcement, you have to keep up to date on the discussion board. This is old days. This is the way things used to be when the discussion board was the primary focus and Facebook didn't exist or had just come into existence. But this is where the main focus was for many, many years. And that's what he's going to be using for it. So obviously people have to keep an eye on the discussion board, possibly checking it daily, just to have it so that you're up to date and any changes that occur. But to the point, the one thing that was mentioned, I don't see in the rules at the moment, and I'm not going to go looking through them, but I did read it, which is the whole idea of having at least two players, because he said three players is a little bit crazy. But two players because of this scheduling. But if it's possible not to have both players for that side, you can at least have one player for that side playing both all the ships. And I can understand that. Now, the force selection, now this is a little different. Players are free to select their fleet from the SOB published products with the restrictions below, which is every unit must be available by 180. Drone ships are assumed to have fast drones and must include that cost in their BPV. Now, honestly, I disagree with that, but that's one of the discussions that we'll be having. Plasma ships are assumed to have the Sabo refit and must likewise pay for that refit. The total ships plus refit and drone speeds should not exceed 500 BPV. Now, after that, the players may select commander's options and adjust the total, as in you have 50 points. You must not exceed the 550 BPV, i.e. there's 50 points of commander's options you can buy. Certain galactic races operate later in general are available. The Klingon Federation, the Romulan... Whoops. You marked Klingons twice. There's a Federation, Klingon, Romulan, Zinigorn, and Tholian... Hydran, Lyran, Wynn, outside cluster only fish series or purchased Orion hulls, Vudar or ISC. I'm mildly annoyed. I like to have Saltorian, but that's me. And the I was just thinking about it. The problem with Saltorians is that I'm probably the only person to want to play them. I don't think I'd ever get a teammate that actually wants to play Saltorians. So, but it is what it is.
Well, now, he is limiting it to one person per side, right?
No, you can have two.
Yeah.
And
you can have two.
Yeah. The idea is you have a team, and then if one person can't show up, that's fine. The one person can play. So it's good. It's actually kind of better than having one person, because then it gives your scheduling a lot more flexible, because you can have it either player played that your side. Which I think is a good thing. Obviously they like to have, if you could have both players there, but if you can't, they give you more flexibility when it comes to scheduling, in that you can only have one player. Now,
okay.
The important thing about force selection is size class 2 ships are prohibited. That means you can't have dreadnoughts, you can't have battleships, you can't have these larger ships, the really large ships. And a limit of two size class 3 ships may be selected, with at least one size class 4 must be included. True carriers, escorts, PF tenders, mine layers, sweepers are prohibited. And only Hydran fighters and Lyran casual PFs are permitted as non-ship units. However, one MRA shuttle is available per fleet, may be chosen as part of the commander's options. A single limited availability ship may be selected. For example, leaders, prototypes, maulers. I'm not sure why you'd ever want to select a mauler, but
okay. I know why.
Why?
Because you're really good at blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
In a very tight time frame.
True. Ships with static field generators. This can be quick. Ships with shock, like the Federation BCGJ, the Romulan KHK, that's the Killer Hawk, or the SPJ, etc. But no conjectural ships, and the judge reserves the right to reject any selection that is not compliant with these rules. I.e., you have to submit those your ship selection and your commander's options to the judge for approval. And big surprise that all ships are considered fully repaired and reloaded between the rounds. Drones, you can exchange two Type 4s for one Type 4, maximum 4 per ship. No transfers between ships. But do not gain any BPV by doing so. And you also could select special drones by using racial restrictions and limits. So those are there. And it's talking about the four maps will be used. I got to find out how it's going to be used in those maps. Because originally he said that it was just going to be using a large map. Now it's mentioning four maps.
It should be floating maps too, then.
No, the map is fixed and does not float.
I thought you said there's disengagement.
Yeah. And any ship which disengages in any other directions can basically you can disengage from a certain direction you came in, basically. And if you don't, they're considered destroyed immediately. And basically, the rules allowed are pretty much the same, though PFs and PF operations are allowed. And does it say here? I know it was discussed.
Dun, dun, dun. So now how many people does he have signed up already?
He considered anyone who was interested. He's asking for fleets, which are let me look. He had a list of people.
Oh, okay. So he does have interest.
Yeah, he does have interest, including me.
What were you thinking of running?
Well, as I said, I wanted to play Saltorian, but that wasn't going to happen.
Do the Halo Andromeda.
We have 10. We have Peter Bakia, Justin Reuter, Staff, Mike Erickson, Eddie Crutchfield, Douglas Lampart. Wow. I don't know him. Alan Trevor, Gregory Flitch, he's new? Don't know. Carl Magnus, and of course, moi. And I need to talk about, where is it? Okay. He's talking about, he's just mentioning how the maps are related to the actual board and SFB Online map, because he did mention that it's going to be basically a big, large map is what it's going to be. Because in SFB Online, you can do that. You can have it. So it's like in, I forget what was it. It was like 82 columns and 40 rows, something like that. Might have been larger.
So basically, it's a huge, almost floating map.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No. 84 columns and 60 rows. Because it's supposed to be four maps.
Right.
So.
A really big space to run around in, so you're not fishbowled like a tournament.
Right. You are kind of fishbowled, but you've got a lot more room.
Yeah.
To run.
Yeah.
So it's not a small fishbowl. Also, one thing that Steve Cole did mention early on, which was... Dun, 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 dun. Where is it? I don't want to misquote him. Dun, dun, dun. There it is. And there was a few comments. It's player designer force, but by that means, not at the ADB office, has to check the math. Obviously, that is planned for. Also, one thing he mentioned was, I would suggest that before you try a tournament, you try a few test games. See how long a game will take, if it's better to run one player per side or more. If any special rules cause an increase in playing time, you might want to skip them. In fact, I would tell you to try at least one test battle, Fed versus Klingons, and then a second one, Fed versus Romulans, and then review the decisions of how you're forced together. And I agree with that. The idea being is that you have Feds, which have some drones, versus Klingons, versus drones, drones, and Feds versus Romulans, which is Feds, they're kind of drone adjacent anyway, versus plasma, because plasma is going to perform way differently in this environment.
Oh yeah,
because you've got an 84 column map by a 60 row map.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You're not in a tournament fishbowl.
Right. So people can actually run away. They don't have to try to run around the fishbowl running away from the plasma. They can just, assuming they're not at the edge of the map, they're closer to the center somewhere, they can more easily just turn around and run.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that's kind of a hint on the thing about one player per side. I would totally advocate for that. For a variety of reasons.
Yeah, I will need to. Oh, the one thing.
if you don't mind, a couple quick thoughts on that.
By all means, go.
Yeah, it's. I think it's fairer altogether, because scheduling wise, you may or may not have difficulty getting one person together, a pair of people against each other,
mm-hmm.
but. If you have teams that are one or two people each on one side, and then you got one guy on the other, it's one person against two, you know, so it's not quite as fair in that sense. And in another sense, if you've got two people on one side, you can also have the potential of it bogging down into more time in decision making, because they may talk out the best thing, and that may take longer than one person making a decision on their own.
Right.
And it's also, I think, slightly less fair if you have that kind of environment and against, where you have like one person whose teammate can't be there against two people, basically. So that's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest thought on it. It's
Yeah, actually, that's one thing you got a good point. And one thing I just thought of, which is that I need to confirm with him, because bigger teams. And I need to think about post on this, which is, is it teams or is it individual players? Because of the original assumption when it comes to those that are interested, there's 10 people. Well, there's 10 people and we have 5 teams, we have not much of a tournament. But if we have 10 people with 10 different players playing individually, we have a much larger tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I need to clarify that with, I will post about that. Oh, by the way, no legendary officers. That's one of the things that they removed. Like, no legendary crew. Jeff said,
what?
Correct.
That's like an optional rule too, isn't it? In the original thing, it's just that everybody loves it.
Yeah, and you can't buy them with commander's options. And basically, Jeff's reply was, "Sorry, but Kirk, Spock, Bones, and friends are busy, as their top gun fighter pilots are too. There's no ace fighter pilots when it comes to the hydrants, which I forgot they did not mention in the original rules, but was clarified in a later post, which is yes." He's going to be adding a limit. Currently, at the way, is the idea is that a limit of hydrogen fighters is going to be around 12, and Lyran PFs are going to be 4, i.e., like two ships that have casual PFs. So you know they do have limitations.
Well, one of the things about the whole and the judge can still reject it is they don't want to have somebody with a gotcha fleet, where they got a major trick pony thing that they can do and you can't really defend against it. and you're done.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's also why they don't want maulers in there.
Huh?
You said maulers were excluded earlier.
No, maulers are allowed.
Oh, but they are allowed.
They're allowed, yeah. But you only can have one.
Well, yeah, you only need one. So, yeah, sorry. I'm getting over this cold thing.
Understood. Well, you sound much better than you'd sound on Monday.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Monday, yeah. I felt like I had just kind of crawled out of the grave.
Yeah, so I was like, it sounds like you're death's door.
That would be a fairly...
accurate statement?
Yeah, pretty much. That is a very accurate kind of thing about how I felt about it. So.
Understood. Yeah, actually, I was thinking of playing the Romulans. Actually, as crazy as that might sound.
Which version?
I was thinking about the Eagles. The older ships.
It's just like you're in Philly or something. You want to take the Eagles. The old Eagles.
Yep.
Get nostalgic about it even. There you go.
Yeah, well, I remember
back during the blizzard of 96 when we booed Santa off the field decades earlier. Oh, yeah, okay.
Actually, it reminded me about football, and I forget which, it was a playoff game or a Super Bowl. I forget. Where it wasn't snow, it was fog. And there was a big controversy. At the moment, I don't remember. But the big, obviously the one issue is that it was foggy and they couldn't see the goalposts. So kicking a field goal was really hard from the field. You could see it at the end of at the end zone, but you couldn't see it like when you're trying to kick it at the 40-yard line. You got to say, okay, it's somewhere between there and there. So you had to rely on memory. Basically. That's one thing I'll mention it really quick about the Eagles game, which was they had snow. Because, of course, they're doing it on Sunday, and Sunday, for those listening, in my neighborhood, we got six inches of snow. I don't think Philadelphia had got that much, but still, they did have snow during the whole thing.
Hey, I was surprised. We were expecting about the same, and Erica stuck a ruler in the yard, and we had 10 inches here.
Yep, I saw the post on Facebook of the ruler, and it's like, they predicted 6 inches. Like, yeah, a little more. And I'll be honest, I'm doing it from my own estimations and not the official, and I didn't do anything like your dear sweet fiance and actually got a ruler out. So it is possible that it wasn't 6 inches, but when you're shoveling in the snow, you notice how thick it is. Well, I did it twice. Because I knew the prediction was somewhere between 5 and 8 inches. So I figured, okay, after a certain period of time, I need to go out there. If I'm going to use a snow shovel, I need to get out there early before it gets too deep and shovel the snow. So I did one time, and then it snowed some more, and I did it again. Fortunately for me, that the snow was that powdery stuff. So,
oh, good.
So it wasn't, you know, that dense, heavy stuff that just, it's like, oh, it's awful. So I was able to easily push it off the snow. Now, the only reason I was using a snow shovel is because my snow blower, one of the tires is flat. And I haven't got it repaired yet. And my dear sweet wife busted me for not getting repaired. Now, the question is, which I actually was talking to somebody about today, which is, question is, of course, is, will we actually get more snow? Oh, wow, was that the big snow that we're going to have for 2025, at least, you know, this winter?
Oh, heck no, you're going to see more snow, buddy. This is only January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I know we've infamously had a whole bunch of years where we've had a nice Indian summer here and there, but that don't mean it's going to be like that. No, we got more coming. You know it's going to happen.
I don't know it's going to happen. I'm just hoping that
doesn't. I wouldn't bet on a particular day, but I would throw money down if I was a throwing money down kind of guy on the weather, that in favor of, yeah, we'll see more snow this winter yet. Mm-hmm. Just have a feeling. You know, I mean, it took a little while for us to get a really good one, but
yeah,
we've had a few.
Yeah, we've had three times it snowed so far this season.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a bigger snow later on this winter. And the thing is, it hasn't all melted away yet.
Yeah, because it's been cold.
Yeah, I mean, we have long-term weather cycles. And some of those long-term weather cycles are, we'll have those warm winters for like 4, 5, 6, 7 years in a row, and then we'll cycle back towards very freaking cold winters. You know, it's something like around a 20-year cycle. It's directly related to the sunspot cycle, too, coincidentally enough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other topic, and not the purpose of your podcast.
True.
So you were thinking about old eagles.
Yeah.
You should use green minis, green and white. You can do it. You can make them custom.
That is true. If I wanted to, but at the same time, to be honest, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Ravens fan, and I was very disappointed that the Ravens lost to the Bills. So, and I give them credit for trying to do the 2-point conversion, because if they would have succeeded in the 2-point conversion, there would have been a different game, for the very least, because they lost by 2 points. So that would have been at the very least, it would have been tied. So at that point, you know, somebody has to, either they're going to go into overtime, or it might change the way the Bills played or the Ravens played if they would have gotten the two-point conversion and tied up the game right at that moment in time.
Just to play devil's advocate on it. If you're in the position where you need that, you kind of sort of failed already.
Yeah, I understand that issue, because they started out good. You don't think they scored first, but the problem is then the Bills just kept on scoring. Now, I'm not sure what happened, because I didn't actually watch the game, because I...
It's like there's a point to that. Like, you have to keep scoring.
Well, that's the point.
And say, we won.
To win, you have to keep scoring. That's kind of.
Oh man, you have to outscore your opponent.
Well, that's the idea.
How like... old school? Don't they all get trophies for winning, for showing up?
Don't go there. Just don't go there, because everybody wins. Okay. No, everyone's not a winner. I'm sorry. Try again. You need winners. You need losers. How can you have people strive to get better, to improve, to try to win, if you don't lose, have them actually lose? But
yeah,
I digress.
Got it.
So, I did a little. A bit thinking about it, not last, I think it was the last night or the night before, I was doing some number crunching, and I just realized after I reread the rules, it went, can't have that force. Too many size class three units. Limit, because he wants to limit the size class two, size class three. And I understand the whole idea, because I think I'm one of the people that came up with the idea. Just
Brought 20
because.
snipes, isn't that okay?
What's that?
I brought 20 snipes. What's wrong with that?
You're gonna come here? Are you gonna, are you gonna?
Aww.
I love you. Do you want? There it goes.
Hello, little Zinny.
Can you?
Don't forget the claws. Aw.
I love you, John. Can you sit down? Okay, he's got
And
plot
now we
now.
get to watch the back of Colt Paul's kitty cat.
Because he is a numbnut. Yes, you are. Actually, the funny thing is, I was at Petco 2 days ago. Went there because I had time. I wanted to see if they had the filters that I need for the kitty dish that I have. And they didn't. Big surprise. But they had a cat that looked just like him. So I was like, I definitely could not, if I even wanted to pick up that cat, I could not pick up that cat because I get those two confused so much.
Oh.
He's a spoiled little spoiled kitty. Yes, you're spoiled.
I wouldn't call him little.
He's getting, yeah, he's the full-grown cat at this point. This is the second youngest. The youngest we just got this coming up on a year ago. They'll call that one the kitten because it's still in my mind, still isn't fully grown. This guy has. Now this guy is a lot lighter. I have a black cat, Sokka, and that he is heavy. He's one you don't want to be laying on your chest. It makes it harder. It makes it kind of difficult to breathe. You know, that kind of thing.
You look over and you see your water bottle, and the water goes, does that thing in, like in Jurassic Park?
Yep. Yeah, but yeah, because the whole limitation on one, get rid of no size class two, and no, and then only two size class three. The whole idea is you don't want just people picking the largest ships and surviving that way. The whole idea is this is supposed to be a squadron kind of thing. Closer, not exact, but closer to what would be a real, considered a real squadron. Let go. Thank you. Uh-oh. There. Of course, there goes my headphones. If you want to, lay there. Because the funny thing is, I was one thing I actually started doing was that I was actually looking into. Do I have it here? Let me just this one. That's what I was looking at. This is for those of you watching on the video, you notice that this is the call to arms rules. And I'm just starting to read them. You need a minimum of two players, a flat playing surface, kitchen table will do, pens, papers, and recorded notes, and of course, you need some dies. Movement and firing. Fortunately, it's the 90 degrees and 180 degree arc kind of thing. But anyway, I'll move back to this, and that is this guy. And I was looking at Here it is. S8.2, command limits. The whole idea of command ratings and possibly having, so it would be requiring the command ratings. I didn't have a chance to fully read into it, but I was thinking about, you know, that'd be one way of limiting what kind of force people actually were playing. Require them to have, start with, follow the command points system. So that, because the whole idea is that you have a number of smaller ships, and then after you have a certain number of smaller ships, you have to have a larger ship to command them. And then, of course, if you have larger ships, then you usually have, after a certain number of larger ships, like size class 3, you have to have another larger ship to be the command of that one. You know, that kind of thing. I didn't actually get around to reading the whole thing. And it talks about here battle groups. It's like the purpose of a battle group. A battle group consists of 6 ships, but count as only 5 for command rating purposes. It is, in essence, a way to replace 5 larger ships with 6 smaller ones. The forces of each side of the scenario may include one or only one battle group. So, in this case, it's reading up here. When fleets organized for combat, they usually include several elements. One of those may be the battle line, because if you get dreadnoughts and heavy cruisers. Another element usually is a carrier group, and the flag element, including the flagship and scouts. The special elements may be then created to conduct particular attacks, commando, drone bombardment, or mauler. But the rest of the fleet, what was originally the bulk of the fleet, would be generic light cruisers, destroyers, screened flanks, closed the gaps, or slipped in. These ships were generally known as the battle group. While they had many missions and did not comprise of a single or integrated unit, they were administratively controlled by a senior regular line officer that did some of the purpose and so forth. So, it's trying to, the idea, as I said, was to give the idea of groups and control and battle groups and limiting this kind of situation. That's what I was going to read up, but I just realized this is a very large section on command and control. And I think this flat out limiting it to 2 size class 3 would be great. Can I do... Let's go back here and go back to here. The one I wanted to do was possibly there's that one. Is it? Let me see here, guys. There it is. Okay. These are the fighters, which I'm not interested in because I don't want to play the Hydrans. There it is. This is hold fast. Okay, these are the PFs. Okay, I need to get further up. I'm looking for. Okay, that's R13. Oops, wrong one. R12. 7, 6, 5. 5, 4, there it is.
4.
Okay, here's the early years. Oh, I think it's right before the early years. That's the Hawk series. Falcon Mauler. And this is
I'd be really leery of including a Mauler in the in that battle group. Personally.
Okay.
Is there really a very purpose-built ship?
Yes.
You know, they're meant to go in and break down a chunk of a starbase.
Right, exactly. That's why. It's like, yeah, you include Maulers, but I see that you really... not a good idea. Yes, you could possibly beat up on one ship, and you could protect yourself quite a bit with the batteries, and after that's gone, you have no weapon left.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's got its pluses and minuses. That could be a great anti-fighter unit.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a great sniper in against stuff like that. It could be really good at alphing an enemy unit that's close, taking it out completely. But on the other hand, it could also very much be a damage sponge.
That is true.
Or something that you have to protect too much to the detriment of the other units.
Right, exactly.
And I think it very much has that potential to fall into the one-trick pony thing.
Right, and remember, also, most Maulers are size class 3. And then this fleet, you only allowed 2 of those. So you're going to waste a spot on a Mauler?
Although there is something to being able to say, fire the wave motion gun. You use it.
Yeah, but
there's a bit of nostalgia in that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Just make sure you play the music too.
Yep.
It'd be 1980 all over again. You just came home from school. You get to start up the music. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yep, I do. Now, some of these are available. Big surprise. really early. We got, okay, where's the snipes? The snipes down here are available. We got, okay, obviously, I can see no way. Snipe S. For those of you out there in Radio Land who don't know what Snipe S is, it is a sub light. Snipe, as in, it would be moving 1 hex each turn.
But it still moves.
It still moves.
It can eventually get away from its nuclear space mine.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, does it have one or does it just have a T-bomb?
I might guess that only has a T-bomb. But again,
but still, you could come out and lay a hell of a minefield with a bunch of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then fire off your torpedoes and cloak.
True. And it'd be very hard to find because it's no warp. It's going very slowly, too. And this one of those ships, it would be the only way I can imagine actually ever trying to use that ship. You have to pair it with another ship. And then that ship basically tows it to the place where you want to have it.
Well, no, you don't. On a tactical board sense, yeah, okay, yes. I see what you're saying. You can tractor it and drag it, but yeah. Because, I mean, they have the strategic warp thing.
When it comes to strategic board, yeah, they can move from hex to hex with no issue because they have strategic warp, but they don't have tactical warp.
The text is hard for me to see. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to check to make sure that it can be seen.
They're almost like PFs, but more advanced.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are PFs tougher than them?
Wow.
Because they should be tougher than them because of the time difference.
Yeah, I'd have to actually look at the SSD. That's one thing I still have to do is actually look at the SSDs.
Yeah. Well, remember, that's like just like straight out of early years.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, agreed, agreed. And the also, that's an interesting idea. Use some early years ships. Why not?
Well, there's this whole exploding thing. That's why not.
Your point?
If you're gonna die, die with panache.
Yeah,
take true. Earlier ships.
True. Then you, of course you have King Eagle, the Warbirds. You got the War Eagle. You got the Vulture, which you can't use because it's size class 2. the Freighter Eagle. I think it is FE. That's why, or is that? Wait a minute, it has the split, which means it usually the split means that it has, economic and battle,
right?
Which usually indicates the special sensors. That's why they're like. Was it? Where is it? It was the CH.
Some other economic benefit.
Too. Yeah, there it is, the CH. This guy, I know what that is. The CH is a Chicken Hawk. Has like half a squadron on it, you know. Dang, it's not available to Y-186. King Eagle, X-Ship. Can we move that date?
Yeah, name your lead ship Foghorn.
I don't think anyone really wants to play with X-Ship. Even first generation X-Ships. You know? I think that would be awful overall. And BEV, really which means
crush the rest of the competition.
Which means that's a fighter. That's a carrier. Yeah. Module J2, yeah. What's the comment? Okay, you got explosion strength 17. Not bad. For King Eagle, it's an explosion strength of 17.
Sigh.
Yeah. And that's only one. Man. Two size class twos. Yeah, that's.
You're actually limited on the number of hulls, right?
No.
Just BPV?
Just BPV. And you're limited to two of the size class 3 hulls.
Okay.
You can have as many size class 4 as you want.
Okay. Yeah.
Sparrow Hawk.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The one thing, the only reason I really like the Eagles is I like the older ships. I think they're cooler than the Hawks. You know, I like the design of the ships.
Well, aren't the Hawks kind of like the knockoff Klingon version?
Kind of. Now, the KRs, the Kestrels, those are the Klingon ships which got converted to Romulan technology.
Yeah, they're straight up Klingon ships given over to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, the one thing actually I kind of like about the Klingon ships, is overall, when it comes to the Kestrels, is that overall I think they have a better turn mode. You know, like the KR has a turn mode of B, while the Sparrowhawk has a turn mode of C. You know? And I'm sorry. I'm one of those people when it comes to comes to plasma. I've said this multiple times. Anyone who's listened to me long enough, they've heard this before, which is I like the LPRP arcs versus the FP arcs. Because, yeah, they're basically front half. So as you're going towards the target, you can turn left or turn right, and you're still be in.
You can do the oblique attacks.
Yeah. But with LPRP, the great thing is that if you turn away, you can still, as your rear shields, you can still launch a plasma towards your opponent. Which to me gives greater flexibility when it comes to your attack. Meaning you don't have to be facing your opponent to actually attack your opponent. You know? Now, what's actually going to be interesting, after the ships and so forth, one of the things I think is going to be interesting about this tournament is just because of it's going to be a tournament where you have to use fleet tactics. In my mind, okay, if you want to, you can do the super stack. Big whip. I think it's kind of foolish to a certain degree. Because then you're treating that one. All your ships must maintain, you know, that is whichever has the worst is the slowest ship that you have. That's how slow you have to go. Whichever has the worst turn mode, that's the turn mode you have to keep. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you don't want your ship spread out all over the place, but at some point in a fleet action, your ships will be separated.
Oh, yeah.
For the plain simple reason, you're going to have some ships that are going to be damaged. Now, the question is, at that point, especially in this context, what do you do with those ships? Do you run and try to repair them as best you can and then come and then re-engage into combat? Or two, you go for the suicide maneuver. As in, force them to either kill you or overrun you.
How are they determining winners?
Now, okay. Doo-doo.
What's victory condition for the scenario for each individual encounter?
Victory. Here's victory. Teams are expected to fight until all opposing ships are destroyed or disengaged. In the case of any unresolved games, the judge will determine the winner used by S2.20 in the SAB rule, that using the victory conditions, I think. I have to double check. Players are not allowed to voluntarily surrender a ship. If a team abandons a game, judge will control their ship and try to disengage. If the time limit runs out, the judges will adjudicate the fate of each ship for the point value purposes. The judge reserves the right to review and revise scores in the event of obvious collusion by one team to give another team a superior score.
Okay. So basically, it's you fight to the end.
Yeah.
And if you disengage a guy, it's considered destroyed for that purpose. Basically.
Right.
Okay. Well, my thought is it depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, and what you have. Because if you're flying those ships, it doesn't take a lot to make it that momentarily effective. I mean, if you can, you know, Picks a plasma to be a plasma F. That's a heck of a lot of firepower for a little bit of power put into it. So, I mean, you could, it's, if you just run pell-mell at your opponent, the question is, will you be able to explode close enough to damage him?
Right.
If you're not totally hopeless on damage, can you cloak and repair your ship for a few turns while the others are running around and engaging? Because that's actually a heck of an advantage for the Romulans. If you have somebody that needs to do 5 or 6 turns of repairing, and you're using standard rules essentially and not tournament rules, then as long as you're not getting penalized for excessive cloaking, yeah, go right ahead, because you can use your damage control to its max capability, which isn't a lot, but it'll let you repair X number of boxes on your ship, and you can also use your normal powered repairs to rebuild your shields for a few turns and come back and be in a better shape than, say, oh, Mr. Federation frigate that's got 3 down shields and is like just a magnet for damage now. So, and not only that, you can kick out all those mines, all those little T bombs. You can make a nice mini minefield somewhere. And you throw out your minefield, you can use that to your advantage 9 ways to Sunday too. So if you have a half a dozen ships that are crippled, but they can manage to cloak before they get shot to bits, cloak them and run like heck with the other guys and focus your fire with them
Oh, understood.
until the other guys can come back and fight.
Yeah, but
Make
there.
them play sub hunter.
At the same time, there's. My guess is that if you do excessive cloaking, you might be penalized by the judge.
Might be, but what is excessive? This is a harder call to make in this kind of a scenario than it is with something in a fishbowl tournament. In the fishbowl tournament, that rule exists because you have an extremely close clock on it. It's meant to be done in a convention setting originally, within a few hours time frame. And excessively doing that to run out the clock and try to get a judgment against the other guy is kind of a form of cheating, basically. Whereas in a squadron fight, if you got, units that need to go repair themselves, you've got a justification for it. And you'll be able to bring them all back at a certain point in time where they'll be as effective as they could possibly be. And it's not like holding them out of the fight is going to gain you anything. It detracts from your firepower and makes the other ships more vulnerable. So you might want to go use your max capability, but you're going to have to re-engage at some point. Because if you do go to a point of judgment, and the reason that you're cloaking it, quote, excessively, is because you got a bunch of crippled ships, all those crippled ships will count against you in the standard thing, the standard victory conditions, I should say. So.
Understood. Yeah, that's that's just lets you know that, that's what S2.20 is in the SCP rulebook. That's standard victory conditions.
Right. But that's only they're only going to that if you don't have a resolved fight
I mean,
in a certain
you
point in
have
time.
ships that are not destroyed or disengaged. So, Yeah, though I think what was it, Peter?
Well, see, that's the thing. That's where it gets confusing because when you read it earlier, you had something about if you disengage your ship from the side you came in on, it's considered destroyed.
Well, on the side that you didn't come in on the fight on, then it's considered destroyed, yes.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So the other way would just be normal disengagement.
Right.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, Peter said,
I didn't hear you completely. Sorry.
Peter Bakia was mentioning, like, seems like giving people the opportunity to just surrender is a good idea. I'm clearly losing. I don't feel like I have a chance to turn this around. And I don't want to spend the next 3 hours waiting to get all my ships blown up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see that. And I don't see any response on that issue, I don't think.
Yeah, I suspect that collusion isn't going to be much of a problem given the small pool of players that you have
Right.
and the fact that most of them know each other to some degree, probably.
Yeah.
They've been playing online.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. There were a few people that had posted on the discussion board, which I've never seen before, to be honest. But most of them, yeah, are well-known players. So anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there, especially because it's starting to get late, and I'm going to turn into a pumpkin very soon.
Oh, okay.
So,
Oh,
in
can I
case.
plug? Can I plug? Can I plug?
Yes, you may plug away.
Okay. Gamers of Winter 2025. You know it's coming up, and if you're not there, you're not there, but get there. Paul will be there, crying out loud. We plugged this thing almost 6 months out of the year. You know, every time we're getting close to the event, we plug it, plug it, plug it. We would love to see some of you guys come out for the event. And I know some of the people in the range of my voice are on the East Coast within a reasonable drive. I don't expect anybody to come in if they live in, you know, Canada land or Seattle or California or Texas or.
Well, you might be California, might be flying out here anyway, just to escape all the fires.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't
I know that
expect
might be
like
a poor joke.
Voyage Independence kind of crowd, but it would be nice if some of the folks that are fairly close by could stop in and say hi, blah 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 blah. So I run that thing. It's there. Paul has table space. You guys can have fun.
Yep. And
Okay, that was my
as
plug.
I mentioned, one thing I will be doing there is if you've never played Call to Arms, come on out, because I will be doing that. I will be learning with you. I will try to review everything and know how to play it before it, but we might have to learn along together, right there in Gamers of Winter.
Yay.
So, Doug, you have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Yeah, me too. So, I had a nice discussion about the 500 point tournament, and I'm hoping it succeeds, as I will be participating in said tournament. I will be doing that, as I mentioned before. I will be posting to see if we're actually going to try to do teams or we're just going to do individual players. As Doug pointed out, probably individual players will probably be a better thing to do, and things will get accomplished much more quickly than otherwise. So, with that, I am Paul Franz. I bid you a good night.